Howdy, folks. Welcome to the Snowy's Camping Show. Another episode joined, as usual, by myself, Ben, and my colleague, Lauren. How are you going today?
Good.
All good?
Yes.
Yep. This is our second episode of starting without any intro music, so we're still getting used to this new studio.
I'm sick of winter. I don't know about you, but I'm done.
I pretty much count down winter from pretty much as soon as the temperature regularly drops below about 30 degrees, I'm counting down to the next summer. So I've been counting for a long time now, but we're in the depths of winter right now.
I mean, we just had solstice and it's just dark all the time and it's just cold.
Yep.
And I'm just really over it. I'm someone who gets a bit of like seasonal depression. Do you know what I mean? Like just that real lack of sunlight and vitamin D and just warmth. It just makes me just be like, and you know, obviously camping and having a big fire and all that sort of stuff offsets that. But again, as I've already sort of complained about recently in the podcast, I have not been able to get away as much this year as I have in previous years.
Yeah.
And it really affects you. Like it affects you having to go through winter without those things sort of to look forward to that make you love winter.
Yep.
So there's just literally no joy.
Just cold. Yeah.
It's just cold and miserable.
I do love it when it starts to warm up. You just start to feel more positive and relaxed and ready for the summer. But
I always talk about just being a bit of a lizard, you know, like just that,
go into hibernation.
Solar charge.
They still expect you to come to work though during the winter. You can't just completely hibernate.
I know. I did say the other day, why don't we have a snow day, but like a rain day for work? It's like, it's raining.
It's like 4 months long.
You get a free paid day off.
Yeah. Well, we've still got a few months to go, but I think it's going to be a long, hot summer too. That's
thanks
what they're saying,
for indulging we'll in my complaint. Anyway. Just really feeling it today.
Before we jump into today's topic, if you haven't already done so, please subscribe. Tell your friends about it as well via YouTube. You can jump in on the conversation at the Snowy's Camping Banter Facebook group, and you can listen in on your favorite podcast app as well. Now, today we're talking a bit of a general chat just on four-wheel drive /vehicle warnings. So the things that you put on your vehicle, attached to the vehicle to create shade next to your vehicle.
We've done a couple of episodes before around shelters. Like I think episode 38, we did awnings and shelters and shades for summer.
Mm-hmm.
And episode 59, we did shelters for rainy days, like, you know, good solid waterproof extra cover and shelter.
That was a bit of a focus on the conditions and the shelter for the conditions.
This is a bit more.
Kind of same.
Yeah, because
but
not all shelters are waterproof. A lot of them are designed as a sun shelter or a shade shelter. So that one gets sort of into a bit more detail about that.
Yeah.
But we've never done one, even though we've touched on it, we've never done one that's like a dedicated
vehicle.
Here's an awning that you attach to your car and here's all the considerations and all that jazz.
So we thought we'd talk about that. Now, the big boom in awnings probably in the past 5 to 6 years maybe. I mean, they've been around for longer than that, but they're just a big thing now for recreational vehicles, awnings almost like the first accessory that you seem to buy.
They've been like the pull-out ones on the side have been around for a fair while, like 10 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Probably longer. There would have been someone making something like that for
I feel like that. 10 years ago, now don't boo hiss me, but 10 years ago I had a pull-out King's awning and that was the first awning that I had. Yeah, I know, but
didn't say that.
Literally broke on the first trip. We had a bit of rain and the whole thing just went like a crumpled can. Anyway, we're not here to trash other brands, but so it's like for me, the pull-out awning sort of first came on my radar around 10, 12 years ago. So before that, I wasn't necessarily really conscious about whether or not they're around but I don't really, it feels like nowadays you drive down a road and nearly a third of cars have a pull-out awning on them. Whereas, you know, 10, 15 years ago, that wouldn't have happened.
Well, there's a lot more recreational SUVs in the market now that are more conducive to an awning.
That's
true. If I think 10 years ago in the Snowy's range, just off the top of my head, I reckon we would have had two awnings in the range. It was one brand that had two different sizes in the awnings, and that was just one of the side pull-out awnings. And that went to sort of two brands, three brands, and then all the other versions that we're going to talk about today came into the market. And I didn't actually count before the show, but we must have
more
than a dozen.
Yeah, I'm not going to take a stab because I'm probably going to be wrong.
It's probably like 20 or something. But yeah, anyway, there's a lot more in the market now. And that's just a portion of what's actually available to us. It's a bit of a, there's a lot of the same thing with different brands on it.
Yeah.
They all have their pros and cons, but there's tons available now. So people who want an awning.
It says people who were watching on YouTube would have just seen me stop with a thought in my head and just open my mouth ready to speak and just sort of hang there, paused for a couple of seconds.
I did have a moment of like, Lauren's going to speak, should I keep going?
No, keep going.
I looked up and you were smiling like I've just
because I decided to. I decided to talk about it later.
Okay. I'm glad we worked that out with the rest of the viewers.
No, it's just if you're listening, that's just what I did. But I acknowledge that somebody would have just noticed and seen that, and there would surely be comments about it if I didn't address it. So
we've already addressed it. No need to comment.
Move on.
So people who want an awning generally, I'll start out by saying I've got an awning. It's currently on the top of the shelving.
Yeah, because you had it and you took it off.
I had it and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but for the style of camping that I've got, it was a bit of weight that I was carrying that I probably wasn't getting the most out of. So I haven't got it on there.
And also, your four-wheel drive is also a daily driver for your family.
Yeah. But those who generally want an awning, and I think the best case scenario is kind of an all-in-one setup when you're teaming it up with a rooftop tent and everything. So you're parking your car.
Yeah.
You know that when you park your car, you're going to set things up and there's going to be guy ropes and things on the car and you can't move the car until you pack all that up again. But when you pack it up, it's all attached to the car. You just roll it up, strap it to the car and drive off.
You don't have extra registration of having to tow a trailer or a camp trailer or whatever.
You're not lugging it on and off a roof rack as well. It's attached there. You're just folding it out.
So there's it's can be quite convenient. And also people who just to have a smaller tent or a swag, but they're predominantly car camp and they don't have the space to fit a big gazebo in because a lot of the really large, meaningfully spaced gazebos do have quite a heavy pack size and they can – I mean heavy pack weight and they can be quite bulky. Sorry, I just knocked my drink bottle there. They can be quite bulky, like it's super long or short and fat in the case of a lot of air.
Yeah. I think that's a good use case for an awning is for a couple or people who are swag camping and you just need shelter next to the car to put your swags, that extra layer of shelter.
Yeah.
It's really good for that. And I did use my awning a few times in that respect when it was just myself and a mate.
Yeah.
I don't even know if we slept in a tent, probably just under the awning next to the car. And you just put an awning over to stop the dew if it drizzles overnight. You got a bit of shelter, but moving to family camping where you need a lot more space, I just didn't use it as much because we'd set up camp and we'd drive around. So I was constantly putting this awning up and down.
Yeah.
Didn't suit that style of camping.
Yeah.
But swag camping, really basic setup. It's a perfect solution.
Yeah. And the other reason why they can be good is if you're doing four-wheel driving but just day tripping or even on your SUV or normal vehicle for day use, maybe you're heading up to like a state forest or some bushland to just have a bonfire and a picnic for the day or you're heading down to the beach in summer, it can be really cool to just have a bit of shelter on the side of your vehicle and not necessarily have to worry about packing. Again, packing a gazebo just for like those day trips.
Yep.
But I think it very much depends on your lifestyle and how much realistically you see yourself using it, which then justifies whether or not they're a good investment for you.
Yeah. I think beach is a good example, especially some of these awnings. You get a lot of shade for a really simple setup. And I imagine there would be, you see a lot of tradie utes that have got, you know, the back of the ute set up for their, you know, their trade during the day. They've got their equipment in the back, but there's always an awning on the side. So I always wonder if it's probably for camping, but I imagine there would be certain work sites on a hot day.
Yeah, for sure.
Some shade, it would be really easy to set that up and have your smoko break or your lunch break under the awnings.
So, absolutely. Yeah. And I think like down in Adelaide where we are, there's a couple of drive-on beaches like Aldinga and Silver Sands. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've ever been down there and the winds kicked up sort of early mid-afternoon as it usually does in South Australian beaches or Adelaide beaches. And there's just gazebos just flying down the beach. And it's like, So having an awning on your car, again, in that case is really, really handy.
Absolutely.
But I always find it, since we've had an awning on our car as well, I always find those trips just seem more achievable because if you're going to go to the beach for a whole day, shade is probably the most crucial element of that. And when you don't have to worry about the packing and the setup as complicated as with a big gazebo, it's just way easier.
Yeah, absolutely.
To just go, oh, yeah, we'll just do this without a huge amount of planning. But anyway.
So kicking off with some of the common inquiries that we get like it's usually around installation and suitability for a vehicle. And there's no one answer for that. It's
circumstantial, depends on the awning model, depends on the sort of vehicle you get. And it's really interesting because some brands will have some real clear guidelines on their awning and some brands don't. But the guidelines also aren't necessarily really in people's faces. And part of me wonders whether or not people are going to be like, oh my God, safety, Ben, but it's coming out of my mouth now.
I've had an influence.
You've had an influence. no, I quit. No. But like part of me wonders whether a lot of that is like if that information about safely installing your awning and sort of the best requirements of it and whatever was very much at the front of purchasing an awning and at the front of people's minds, maybe they wouldn't buy them as much or they wouldn't consider it as much. And so, brands just want people to buy their awnings.
Yep.
And I think maybe like most of the time you could probably get away with not following those sorts of things, but also you get warranties back on people whose awnings have flexed or the buckles have broken or the roof racks have sheared off, or there's a whole range of different issues that you can have with awnings. Yep. And it's like, if you just take a couple of seconds at the beginning to work out the suitability, you should be fine.
Yeah. Cause it all sorts of, I mean, if you go to the larger 270 awnings, we'll cover off on these shortly. The backing plates are really big. They're really heavy, sort of 30 kilo units. The smaller pull-out awnings have got a much smaller backing plate. They come with different brackets.
Yeah.
Those brackets don't necessarily line up with what you've got available to attach it to.
Yeah.
For the most part, if you've got a brand named roof rack system or something.
Yeah.
The channels or things should line up pretty well, but you've got to check those things. And yeah, like you say, just have a think about what have I got? What awning have I got to fit? How long is it? Where are the mounting points going to be? You've got to kind of think of the physics of it all bouncing around on the roof to make sure that you don't damage the awning as much as you do have the awning come completely off.
Especially if you're people who are touring and you're doing a lot of driving and maybe lots of highway driving where, you're doing 110, 120, depending on your state or whatever. You got to think that this is this huge big thing on the top of your roof rack. It's not very aerodynamic. It's on one side. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot. You know what I mean?
Just have a think about
it. I'm being a bit of a safety bet.
You can't do it, but just have a think about it. Like putting a large 270, like your outbound awning on a Suzuki Jimny, for example.
You could, in theory, do it, but don't do it.
Probably, you got to weigh up the benefits.
But I have had some funny inquiries with people who say have like a, I can't even think now, like a little SUV or hatchback type car, and they're like, oh, I want to put a 270 Dachi Eclipse awning on there. Yeah. And it's like, well, you could, but also the height of your roof is like 1.5 centimeters. So
centimeters.
I meant 1.5 meters.
It's a matchbox car.
So it's like, think about the height of your vehicle and where your awning is going to sit and whether or not you're actually going to be able to stand under the awning. You also need to think about your roof load rating, because there's no reason why you can't have an awning on your vehicle. You just have to know the limitations of your vehicle.
And overhangs and all those sort of legal
and overhangs and all those sort of things. Yeah.
So just have a think about it. Look at your vehicle, consider the geometry around it all.
I mean, in theory, if you had a tiny little hatchback car, right, like a little Toyota Corolla, and you want to like crank down to the beach for the day and you're going to go on the hard compact sand and it's like a drive on beach, so getting down to the beach is also fine because, you know, that's maintained. you could probably put a side pull-out awning on it if you want, but it would just be like an angle like this. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Just
have a think about it.
Have a think about it. It's pretty funny. But also, so, we probably should also preface that we're not roof rack specialists or installers. No. And so a lot of the time people contact us and go, I have this particular roof rack system. How can I, what do I need to install this properly? Or and sometimes that can be really challenging because I don't know about you, but I could install a roof rack on pretty much anybody's system with my eyes closed. Mm-hmm. And you probably could too. Mm-hmm. And I think both of us are generally are quite problem solving people. And if we didn't have exactly what we needed in the bracket kit, we could probably go to Bunnings and we could probably work it out. And we have the skills and the ability to do that. But unless we're physically looking at it and doing that installation ourselves, it's not really very responsible for us to be like, oh yeah, do X, Y, Z, because we don't know about that person, what their capabilities are, what tools they have access to, like if they even really know what we're talking about when we're describing it and all that sort of jazz. So it makes it really hard because we're not qualified roof rack specialists. We can't sort of give advice in that space and have that advice be like infallible and 100% backed up. And then you guys go and install your awning like that. And then something happens and it falls off the side of your car. And you're like, oh, Ben from Snowy's told me this. Like,
no, probably the only
that's where it gets a bit tricky for us.
Yeah. The main advice I'd say is just have a think of the dynamics of it. You've got mounting points that are adequately spaced. And if you're using bolts and things, use rated, preferably stainless steel bolts or something that's not going to rust because it might hold to start with, but then that sits on your roof rack and gets wet and over years it rusts and suddenly one day it pops off your car. So have a think about the fittings you use. I'm probably going off track a bit, but it's really hard to say, does that car suit this without actually, I need to go and look at it and say, that could work. But
if your roof rack system is maybe a bit bit unique or like certain systems like is it the Pioneer roof rack system or which is the one that has the slats going front to back instead of side to side?
Rhino racks got going that way.
I think it's Pioneer.
The Pioneer platform or something.
Like for example with those you can't actually attach the awning brackets straight to the platform, fresh out the box, because those brackets are ultimately designed that for you, the assumption that you're having those the roof rails that run across your vehicles. Mm-hmm. And so because the slats on those Pioneer systems go in the opposite way, you can put in the first bolt or something, but you can't put in the next bolt because it's just a gap there.
And you need two bolts.
So then Rhino Rack sell this little accessory for those platforms, which sort of bridges the gap in between those things. So it's like if you do have a more unique or specialized roof rack system, generally contacting the brand
absolutely
will give you a solution.
Yep.
Like 99% of the time.
Most of the backing plates are fairly standard. The actual spacing with the bolts and things. Correct, I've got a backing plate that is this diameter. There's this many centimeters between the top and bottom bolt. I need a bracket to attach it to my whatever system. The roof rack brand is going to be a better.
I have a 230 Falcon or I have a Darchi 270. They're like, here's what you need. Yeah. Like it's pretty straightforward.
There is another brand that I only heard of yesterday, but something called Raxbrax, which we were hoping to, get for Snowy's, but it's actually
like this.
Well, they're bracket. I don't know. I don't know much about it. Have a look, but they look pretty cool. They're actually a bracket. And I think they make brackets to suit all different roof rack systems. Again, the inquiry goes to the bracket brand, but it's actually a bracket that you can remove the awning put it back onto your car as well.
That actually sounds pretty fantastic.
So one other thing to consider with your setup too is that just the awning purchase is probably got to come with a little bit of extra around the brackets and things that you might want to be able to use it on your car. So with your budget, just allow a bit extra, particularly if you've got any specific requirements other than just mounting it straight to your car.
Some of the advice we can give though, which is I would say probably the most common advice several times a week, reckon we sort of address this with customer inquiries. If you've purchased an awning that's supplied with three mounting brackets, it requires three mounting brackets. You can't just go, I'll just use two of those. If you do, you're sort of setting yourself up for a bit of trouble there. And if anything goes wrong with the awning, you won't get warranty.
Even if you only get two, try and put three in. Just like extra mounting's better.
Yeah. It's like usually the ones with three brackets are heavier. And so therefore those three brackets really are required to properly and adequately support your awning to your roof system without there being additional stress on those points and therefore additional stress on your roof rack and their attachment points to your vehicle as well. And I know that can be a bit of a pain in the butt because a lot of people have two roof racks. You know, it's not common for people to have three roof racks or three roof rails.
Bars, yeah.
Or roof bars or whatever you want to call them. But three brackets means three brackets.
Yep.
The other one, which sometimes seems a bit controversial, but I don't think it seems controversial personally. Mm-hmm. But the recommendation, and this initially has come from Darchi, and I personally recommend people apply it to all awnings, is that you don't have any more than 6 centimeters of unsecured length. 60 centimeters. Sorry, I'm bloody all over the place with
dropping
my
zeros
measurements
today.
Don't have more than 60 centimeters of unsecured length or 600 mils of unsecured length at either end of your awning. Mm-hmm. So the end of your awning, somewhere between the end of your awning and 600 mil in, you have to have a bracket. And the reason why is because of flexing. And when you're heading off and you're driving down the highway and, you know, the wind's hitting your car and hitting that awning and all the I'm not a wind scientist. No. What do you call it? Like vortexes or pressures or wind pressures. I don't know, whatever the technical term
is. It's also just the, if you're on a corrugated road, if you think about that.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's not just the end, it's the middle as well. If you kind of think, oh, I've got a 2.5 meter awning and I can put a bracket at each end and you've got 2.5 meters between brackets, you've got that whole awning kind of bouncing around in between. And in that, between the actual awning that folds out and the backing plate, you've got rivets and things holding it all together and you've got all sorts of screws and that sort of things holding it together. If that's bouncing around and flexing around
and moving around.
I know my awning over the years, I've looked in the back and a few rivets have come out just from bouncing around over many kilometers of dirt roads. So it's about stopping that movement. So if you have to mount it across the whole backing plate. So if you're awning, for example, comes with two brackets and you can mount it if you've got a really long roof system and you can mount it at 2.5 meters, one at each end.
Yeah.
You're going to need one in the middle as well because it's just going to bounce around. And if you mount it too close together, and I've seen this a lot on vehicles with small cars, roof racks are close together and the ends are way over 60 centimeters out each side. Each of those is bouncing up and down, not just on the highway with the wind, but if you're going over rough roads, it's bouncing around and it's just going to damage the awning.
For most of your awnings that sort of are going to be exceeding that 2 meter plus length, you will get a third bracket, but I'm pretty sure it's just the pull-out ones that aren't super heavy. Even the 2.5 meter one only comes with two brackets because of the weight for that. So obviously if you're not doing any more than 60 centimeters of unsecured length on either end, what is that? It gives you 1.3 meters in the middle between your brackets, and then you've got 60 centimeters on either end. And that's sort of the max. That's what your spacing is going to be.
About thirds. I think I had two brackets on my 2.5 meter side awning and I did it roughly thirds.
Yeah.
So you should be pretty safe.
So, then that flexing, actually, I'm going to jump on because that flexing moves into dual cabs, because we have a lot of people who are like, I have a dual cab ute and I want to mount my awning across the cab and the canopy.
So you've got roof racks on the cab and then you've got a frame on
or
the
rack. Yeah, you've either got rails on the canopy or a frame on the canopy, whatever. You've got some sort of mounting point on the canopy end or the tub end.
Yep.
And you've also got rails on your roof and you want to mount it across. That's also another no, because of the movement that can happen
between the two
means that you're putting heaps of stress on your awning. So it is recommended wherever possible that if you're going to mount an awning, you're mounting it exclusively on your canopy, because most cabs aren't long enough to mount an awning just on the cab roof.
That's a good example where roof racks are too close together.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So ideally you should be mounting it exclusively on the canopy, whether that's on your tub rack or on your tub rack, or if on a canopy with roof rails.
Do you know how much movement there is? I've never actually looked into that, how much movement there is. Because to me, I kind of think, it's a stiff chassis. We're going a bit off topic here.
I think it depends what you're actually doing. Because if you're literally just mostly doing highway driving, probably not so much of an issue. But if you're doing more, yeah, it's the twisting and the movement. And you think, like, if it's a full roof, then obviously the roof at the back of the vehicle and the roof at the front of the vehicle, it's pretty much going to be rigid and stay the same the whole time. But if you're talking about having a canopy and then a separate cab, there is a possibility if you're doing a lot of off-roading stuff or even corrugations, or you're driving down to the beach and there's a lot of movement in your car, full driving, anything like that, there's going to be a lot more of a differential between
kind of that torsion, or the top between of the
back
side,
of your car and the front of your car in that torsion. And so imagine you've attached a rigid piece of aluminium bracket along one side. There's going to be a lot of torsion and flexing in that, in those situations. So it's just something to consider.
Makes sense. All right. Moving on, I want to get onto types, but we're still talking about installation here. We've got one more point here. Oh, mounting with a rooftop tent, yes. So
because that's probably the last most common question.
And this is most prevalent with hard shell rooftop tents, where a lot of them have rails on the side for mounting things. So you can put brackets for your ladder, and it's where the struts are mounted in those rails on the side there, like the slots for like an M8 bolt or something to go into.
Yeah.
So many questions around, can I mount a rooftop tent to that? Now, I know on 23Zero's Saber, they've just got one channel there.
Yeah.
Which, if you think about the dynamics of that, isn't going to work. One channel is just going to twist and it's going to pop
out.
Correct,
yeah.
But 23Zero have brackets that you could add to that to then strengthen it to make the awning fit. So you need to check
with – Dutch, you do the same, or have historically done the same with their hard shells as well.
Okay.
So in theory, yes, you can mount an awning to the side of your hard shell rooftop tent, but it just depends on the brand of the awning and also the brand of the rooftop tent, and just making sure that you can find a compatible bracket option that allows you to do that safely.
Yep.
But all else fails, you can still always mount the awning to your roof bars or your roof rack system underneath the rooftop tent.
Yep. Yeah. Once again, that comes down to individual. If the roof bars come out far enough, and
all of that sort of jazz.
The whole setup. So but check with the rooftop tent manufacturer what accessories they've got and what they recommend
For
the mounting
sure.
of the awning.
Yeah.
Now, different types. Now we've mentioned pull out a few times. It's not really pull out though, is it? It's roll out. Like when I think pull out, I think it's kind of like one of those blinds that you pull down and it goes up.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It doesn't really pull out. You roll it out, and then. Oh, this is the simplest of awnings, and the ones that I have, ones that are sitting on my shelf in my garage. Roll out, legs fold down, a couple of extendable poles, and you just create like a square or rectangular shelter next to your car, a couple of guy ropes, and you set up.
Yeah.
They're the simplest and most affordable awning.
Yeah, I really like them. And again, often I'm saying things like, oh, they're so underrated. And I just feel like they really are quite underrated. And I think because of the growth of other styles of awnings and larger footprint awnings, those ones are sort of been sort of pushed to the back of the class now. But it's like you used to be able to get extension walls and compatible tents inners that would go underneath it and ones that would attach. And obviously there are still brands like the Darchi, their Eclipse pull-out awnings. Yep. They're called pull-out. That's why I'm saying it.
Yeah.
They have like an extender tent that you can attach to the end of your awning. So you sort of have your tent and then you have your awning cover between you and your car. And you can sort of still get walls and things like that. But the range of accessories and things to customize and maximize a pull-out awning just isn't around as much as it used to be.
No, but they are quite, like you say, they are, I think you're right, they're underrated. Usually just the awning itself is 2x2 or 2.5x2 meters of shade. And for the most part, they'll have another sail track on the far end of the awning. And a sail track's a really versatile attachment, right?
Yeah,
You could stitch or create whatever you want and attach something to further extend that if you want. The larger or different awnings that we'll talk about shortly usually have zippers or things in your you're restricted by making sure you get something that's compatible specifically with that awning to extend it. But the very simple pull-out awnings or roll-out awnings are really versatile in terms of the walls and accessories you can add. You're only limited by whatever's got a sail track attachment to it for the most part.
And you also have, you know, they're lighter. Yes. And if you were someone who, for example, those brackets, racks, bracks, or whatever you're talking about, one person more often than not could get a pull-out awning on and off their car by themselves with like something like those instant release brackets you were talking about.
They're about 13 to 15 kilos.
But like a 270 awning, for example, I'd be wanting two people with that for sure. And sometimes I would even question if it was worth the effort to put it on and off your car,
no,
even with quick release brackets. So something like a pull-out awning, it gives you a lot of shade. It's light. It doesn't add a huge amount of weight to your vehicle. You only need two brackets, a lot more versatile with your setup.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So way I lighter. Don't know. I think they're good.
But that's not to talk down the ones that we'll go into next, which are heavier.
Yeah.
Arguably easier setup,
yeah.
Depending on which one you get,
yeah,
and create an awesome amount of living space next to your vehicle.
Yeah.
We'll lead up to the bigger ones, but starting with a 180, which that refers to the degrees. So 180 degrees covers half a circle, so it covers down one side of your car, doesn't wrap around the back of the car or anything. So
I feel like the 180 awnings are in a little bit of a no man's land. I don't know what you think about that, but it feels like to me you get a pull-out awning, as most people would go for a pull-out awning first, and then they would look at upgrading because they want more space. But then you look at a 180 versus, say, a 270, which we'll go into again. The weight differential once you're getting to those bigger awnings isn't a huge amount. Mm. And I think people often are like, well, if I'm going to go for this, I may as well go the whole hog. And so the 180 seems to be in a bit of a no man's land where
– it is a little, but it has a use case in the scenario where you might have a lift up hatch on the back of the car.
Yeah.
And the 270, which we'll talk about after this, wraps right around the back.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
If you then put that up and go to open your hatch, it hits your awning. So you need that space at the back.
Yeah.
But you are right in terms of the shade that it gives. It is extra than, say, a 2.5 wide awning, but those sides also angle back. So you don't get a full, even though it's longer, you don't get that full width.
Just
of
like
shade.
A couple of
so
little triangles on either side.
But you do get the benefit with the 180 awning of the simple setup. And some of the styles are also don't have poles, they're freestanding.
Yeah.
So literally is a case of unzipping the tonneau cover, like pulling the arms out and tensioning them against your roof rack or your bull bar.
Yeah.
Or wherever you can attach it. And you set up short of putting some poles and guy ropes in. So set up for the 180, you get a bit of extra shade. And it's easier than the pull-out awnings. The pull-out awnings aren't difficult, but it's a little bit more mucking around, particularly if it's windy. But, yeah, it doesn't wrap right around the back of the
car. It's easier to do with two people on a pull-out.
Much easier. I'd certainly recommend it with two, yeah.
The other thing about the 180 is a lot of people, once they get the awnings, they're like, oh, I'd like to get some walls as an accessory. Often the 180 brand awnings, they only come with a singular wall piece that does all three sides. And so a lot of people maybe just want one wall or one piece on either end to create a little windbreak or something, and you don't always have the same flexibility. You have to buy this huge big thing. I mean, obviously you can – there's zips in each section and you can roll up two sections if you only want to use one, but it's just sometimes a potential downside can be that you have to attach this huge big wall skirt. Just to be able to get one wall.
And they're not all like that, but generally the 180s have been a long wall, and they're also usually the same fabric as the awning, so they're also bulky. So have a consideration too that your weight of your awning, if you want to add walls to it, there's also these bulky walls. But if you do have the space to carry that, you're starting to create a really awesome enclosed space right next to your vehicle. Often they taper out as well.
Yeah.
But once again, if you go back to those basic pull-out awnings, you can retrofit. You can almost make your own side awning for those because you just need Velcro tabs on the side and across the top, and you can put a wall on there.
Yeah, if you're handy or you head to a local canvas and annex company, or even people that make shade sales and things like that, you might be able to get something custom for your particular awning if you wanted to.
But the 180s, you're generally stuck with that brand's awning.
Yeah, correct.
Or walls and accessories.
So the 270s, which are the next ones on, they can come in a couple of different designs in the sense that some 270s are, as we've talked about, the 180, but with that little kick around the back, like a giant big L shape. Mm-hmm. So it covers the rear of your vehicle as well. And then some other 270s, like Oztent and I think Howling Wolf, maybe, is that? There's a South African awning brand that do one, and I think Kings do a 271. There's like a couple of different brands, but they're literally just like a circle. Yeah, so instead of being that big L shape, there's just one pivot point at the back corner of your vehicle, whether that be on your driver's side or your passenger side, and it just swings out like a big circle or a circus tent roof.
Yeah, whereas the other ones have got two pivot points. And by that we mean it so that, yeah, so the back corner will go from like, well, you'll pull that arm out from the driver's door and you'll walk with that right around to the back of your car and it'll finish on the rear passenger side corner. Yep. It'll wrap all the way around. But then there's with the larger 270s, there's a second arm that then goes
at the
from
front of your vehicle. So it extends all the way to your headlights at the front of your vehicle, like it swings out in that
so it'll
direction.
So it'll go from rear passenger door to passenger headlight.
Yep.
So it
and it makes that huge big L shape, doesn't it? Yep. Yeah.
And if you then add walls to that, you've got, I don't know the square meterage coverage, that it's all on our website, but it's a massive amount of sheltered space.
I feel like, no, I was just going to take a punt, but I could just pull something completely out of my backside and it not be anything remotely close.
It's a lot of space anyway.
It's a lot of space.
And you can get straight walls or you can get tapered walls. So it tapers
out. Which obviously bring the floor out and you get a lot more space.
It doesn't necessarily increase the headspace, but it allows you for your storage stuff to store it back where the tapered section is. And you've got all that basically vehicle height or whatever height your awning is mounted at space to walk around in. So and right around to the back of the car as well. So you can get stuff out of the car.
The thing about the 271s that are like just in a circle, which would never be applicable for me, is that I have a pull-out kitchen in the back of my vehicle and that is on the driver's side. So if I had a passenger side pivoting circular 270, it wouldn't cover my kitchen. Mm. Do you know, it would sort of cover maybe a quarter of the kitchen closest to the vehicle and the rest of it would just be exposed. So that's why some of those 270 awnings in the L shape are really good because depends on the brand as well. Like I know the 230 Falcon one, or they do Osprey is their circular version. But
that's
they
what
do
I was trying to think of before.
They do a Falcon, which is your passenger, and your Peregrine, which is the driver side. Mm-hmm. They sort of have at the back of the awning, they have three arms. So one goes off the side of your vehicle, the other one goes across the back of your vehicle, and then they have one pointing out perpendicular to the back of your vehicle. So the awning, I don't know if I'm describing this very well. So the awning actually comes off the back of your vehicle to a point in like this giant big triangle. Mm-hmm. But then you have like the Superpeg outbound that I have, and you have like the Darchi 270. The design is a little bit different where they have
extra arm.
Four arms, or they have an extra arm. So you have obviously going out the side of your vehicle and across the back of your vehicle, and then you have two perpendicular ones, and it just makes that back section more squared off and gives it more of a sort of rectangular space, which is a lot more functional if you are wanting to actively use the back of your vehicle as shelter. As for shelter correctly. Well, not correctly, but you need that more coverage at the back because maybe you've got your kitchen there or for whatever reason.
So there's another consideration for that as well, where 230s has got the pole coming straight out and it's just fabric directly behind the vehicle.
Yeah.
If you have, once again, a lift up tailgate, you can go up against the fabric. There's no poles impeding that lifting up. Mm-hmm. So if you do have a lift up tailgate, then the 230 version is probably going to be better in that respect, but then you lose the coverage the Darchi's offering provides. Yeah. So there's no best case scenario there. You've got to pick and choose what best suits your vehicle or what best suits how you operate.
And they're all pretty good considerations to make. I think there's freestanding and non-freestanding versions.
That's a common question, isn't it? Is it freestanding? The ones that aren't don't specifically say freestanding.
That's right. If they don't explicitly state that they're freestanding and even provide you with a wind rating or some sort of guarantee in certain windy conditions tie them down, because I know a lot of people say, for example, the 23-0 270 awnings and the Darchi 270 awnings, oh, yeah, they're freestanding. I set them up all the time. They're not freestanding. Darchi and 23-0 don't provide a wind rating, or at least the last time I checked, they don't have a guarantee of wind rating and things like that. And just because it might appear as though it's all fully supporting when you set it up, if anything was to happen, you've got a broken awning, right, and you won't get it covered under warranty because you've not used it set up the way that it should. If your awning comes with poles, then it's not a freestanding awning.
Yeah.
That's sort of the general consensus.
Some of the freestanding ones still come with guy ropes as well that you can use in really bad conditions.
But so the super peg awning that I've got, for example, doesn't come with poles, but it does come with
tie downs.
Yep. And you can either use it comes with a couple like thick webbing strap ones that hook on each arm, and then thinner ones that you can hook sort of in between to help funnel rain off to reduce that load. But doesn't come with poles because it's a truly freestanding awning that's 100% backed. So from that perspective, if it comes with poles, use them.
I still think you should use some common sense. There are going to be some conditions where everything has its limit. And if it is particularly windy, and even though your awning says it's freestanding, some conditions where you think maybe I should just put a guy rope on, because that freestanding is also dependent on how it's mounted.
Yeah.
So the awning might be fine, but it might break your roof rack if you haven't mounted it properly. So there's a whole lot of sort of conditions that depend on how suitable it is for freestanding conditions.
Yeah, yeah.
Downside of freestanding is they're heavier because they've got reinforced arms and structure in it. So awesome to have, but bear in mind that you're going to be putting a lot more extra weight on your car for that.
And that's a point that I was going to say, is that our fuel consumption has gone up quite significantly having an awning on our vehicle, and that's something you definitely need to consider. And you know, I guess this day and age, which with petrol being quite expensive, I mean, this day and age over the last couple of years, it's just gradually increased. But you know, that's probably more of a pressing consideration. But from our perspective, the benefit outweighs the cost at this stage.
Yep.
And but it is something that you consider. Like if you're having a hard time getting away, or you're not getting to the places that you want to get to because petrol is an expense, adding an awning is just going to make that worse. Not just for the added weight to your vehicle, but also the loss of aerodynamics with your car too.
There's a few other considerations too. I know we've got some car campers in the Facebook group, and I know there's one person who's used a stick-on awning. It's got suction caps that you can stick on the side.
We sell one of those, I think.
Yeah, is it
Roman? I think is it Cosy?
Roman or Cosy or someone, I can't remember. Someone makes it. I've not used it. I vaguely remember reading that it's quite good.
Yep.
I have also seen, I think it's Coralie, has just used like those large clamps and a sun shelter.
Massive clamps,
And just clamped it to her, the rail, the gutters on her, I think it was a Hiace van or something.
Do you know what I love as well? Now, I can't remember their name, so apologies in advance because they're probably listening, but someone posted in the group as well that they had a sail track on their vehicle, and they used an extension awning from their RV Plus and just slid that in, or there was something that they used where they just either zipped it onto their vehicle or they slipped it on with a sail track, and they've got this massive big awning that they set up with some awning poles, like a tarp shelter supported by the vehicle.
Yeah.
And a mate of mine did something really similar. He has a Volkswagen Transporter and obviously doesn't have a roof rack system. Well, not obviously doesn't have a roof rack system. Doesn't have a roof rack system. Obviously doesn't want to get a roof rack system just so he can also then get an awning.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just gone to Bunnos, right? Bought sail track, like aluminium sail track, fixed that to his vehicle in the little channel there.
Yep.
And has bought a huge big awning extension with a sail track connector. Yep. And that's what he has off the side of his vehicle, and it's great.
I think I've talked about it before, but that's exactly what I want to do. I just want to put a sail track down the side of my roof rack and take a tarp that doubles as a ground sheet, whatever you want to use, but you can get them with a sewn-in keter strip or sail track strip. slide it in, take a couple of poles and some guy ropes, and you've got an awning.
There is also actually, I think I've sent it to you before, there is a brand that specifically makes an awning that does exactly this.
Probably.
It like packs up to like the size of a 30-litre day pack, and that's how it attaches to your vehicle.
We'll see if we can find it and share it in
and
the group.
And put it in show notes.
Because the benefit of that is
you
can, it packs inside the car. So if you're a if you've got a roof rack system or something, but you're in a smaller car, you don't want to carry that around on your roof. This just slides on and can then go in the boot of your car. So
lots of different options.
We should wind up.
We should wind up.
So pros and cons. Pros, easy to set up, shelter attached to your car.
Super
you're
functional.
Not lifting it on and off all the time. It's minimal pegs.
Don't have to worry about a huge big gazebo that you have to cart around and set up and pump up and have a couple extra hands for and blah, 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 blah.
And you look like you're in the business too if you've got a big awning on your car.
You do.
Yep, even but if you don't use it.
Exactly. You look cool. You look cool. Street
cons,
cred.
If you get like the 270s, they're heavy. You get that easy setup, but they're heavy. I do find when I had mine and it was limited loose use of the roof rack, I had to it took me longer to feed the rope through between the awning and the roof rack.
Right.
When I was tying things on that side of the car. So that's just one consideration too.
Yeah. It would just be whether or not your vehicle is a daily driver, how often you get away. If you're a daily driver, but you are away every weekend, even on big day trips every weekend, then sure. But if you're a daily driver and you might get away once every 3 months, probably not worth it.
In my case, it was kind of a semi-daily driver, but I looked at it and thought, I'm really not using it enough to warrant carrying it around every day.
Yeah.
So I took it off and I haven't missed it for the style of camping that I'm doing, because my current tent, which I need for 4 people, has got an awning on it anyway. So suits me for now. That's awnings. We've got heaps on our website. Check them out. Darchi 230, Super Peg, Outbound. What other awnings have we got? We're always on the lookout for other ones. Hardcore has got some
Hardcore's
as well.
Got
Campos,
one too.
Yeah. Big range now.
Let us know, do you have an awning on your car? What do you love about it? What do you regret about it, if regrets are applicable? And what brand, style it is?
Yep.
Love to know it.
Love to hear about it.
Catch you later, guys.
See you next time.